In your place for our second reading to 1 Kings chapter 15. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maakah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maakah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maakah his mother, even her, he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol, and burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated, into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or to come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, and between thy father, my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, the king of Israel, that he may depart from me." So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king of Asa, and sent the captains of the hosts which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ajan, and Dan, and Abel Beth-Ma'akah, and all Kinnereth, with all the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard thereof, he left off building Ramah and dwelt in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted. And they took away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had builded. And King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. The rest of all the acts of Asa, and all his might, and all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father. And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead. And Nadab the son of Jeroboam began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. And Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass, when he reigned, that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed, until he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite, because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, and which he made Israel to sin, by his provocation wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tirzah, 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. This is one of those chapters where we want to recommend that as you read through the books of 1 and 2 Kings, and also 1 and 2 Samuel, which in the Hebrew are all brought together in one book called the Four Books of the Kings, that you also fill in the rest of the detail that you'll have in the inspired record after the exile in 1 and 2 Chronicles. Because there are details in 1 and 2 Chronicles that are left out. And it is interesting to read through those particular scenarios together. So if you have, for instance, a Bible with some cross-references in it, or if you have a book of cross-references, such as the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge or something like that, then what you can do in your own personal Bible reading of 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, you can also reference those portions in 1 and 2 Chronicles and get a fuller picture. Because we don't hear a lot of what Asa does here, and it just says at the end that he was diseased in his feet, and we don't hear much about Asa's difficulties. And the chronicler is very careful to tell us something about the difficulties of good King Asa. And yes, he was good King Asa. And yet even this good King Asa had his problems. And it seems that, as some do, he tended toward a greater sense of what we would call pragmatism toward the end of his life. You know, it is interesting to watch theologians over the years. Some of them really become wonderful rocks and stalwart theologians. And others, you see in their writings, they drift. They drift away from perhaps what we would call a former faithfulness. Same is true here of Asa in regard to his reign. Let's remember what happens here. At the beginning of Asa's reign, what do we have? We have some wonderful things. Really good reforms. Oh, by the way, did you hear that Asa and Abijam had the same mother? That's really not true. They had the same maternal relative. She was Abijam's mother and Asa's grandmother. Sometimes in Scripture, the word mother and grandmother are used interchangeably, just like father and grandfather are. Now, she's a pretty important woman in her day. Not only is she the queen, but she has set up a grove. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but if you look over at verse 20, Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent captains of the hosts which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ajan, Dan, and notice, Abel Beth Ma'akah. That's her name. She had a city named after her, Abel Beth Ma'akah. This is probably the place where she originally had her grove that Asa tore down. Now, it's important for us to understand this, because what Asa has done here is he's taken a woman that was ensconced over the kings of Judah for two generations, Abijam and Asa, in her idolatry. Okay, that's why she's said to be the, the mother of Asa and the mother of Abijam. She has been a long time in that idolatry. And Asa then would have found it even harder to move her, to dethrone her, and to tear down her grove. But he does. You see, this magnifies what Asa had done. And these few details help us to understand that the early part of Asa's reign was a very godly reign. He put out the Sodomites. He put them out of the land. And he did many other things. In the Chronicles account, what do we read? 1 Chronicles 15, I think it is. Sorry, 2 Chronicles 15. What do we hear? That the Ethiopians and the Lubim gathered themselves together and that they had an army of 1,000,000. A standing army of 1,000,000 soldiers came against Asa. And what did he do? He prayed. And he said to the Lord, "You can have victory with a few or with many. Numbers mean nothing to you. We're put to fright, but numbers, they mean nothing to you." And the Lord heard him and granted him victory. And then just a few years later, when Baasha of the northern kingdom rose up and started building cities that would keep the people from coming south to worship, that were border cities, Asa said, "That's a problem. Let me get hold of Ben-Hadad and send him silver and gold and see if I can buy him off so that he'll help us and break his league with Baasha." On the one hand, this almost innumerable enemy came up against him and he prayed. On the other hand, he became very pragmatic. And do we not remember that if you can buy someone off, so can someone else when they come up with a few more shekels? And so Asa is also rebuked. He's rebuked by Hanani the seer. And we see Hanani several times throughout this narrative. And Hanani says to him, "What are you doing? Thus saith the Lord, when you were in trouble with the Ethiopians, did you not pray and did I not deliver you? Now that you're in trouble with Baasha, you go to Ben-Hadad? Really?" And you know what Asa does? He puts him in prison for telling him the truth. Well, there are so many lessons there in the life of Asa, are there not? And so the Lord sent to Asa an affliction to chastise him. And according to the chronicler, he never learned his lesson. He was lame in his feet. And what did he do? Did he cry out to the Lord again? No, he took the Ben-Hadad habit instead, and he cried out to the physicians, "Help me," and didn't call upon the name of the Lord. He made use of means, but trusted in those means. So there are indeed several lessons here that we can learn, both positive and negative, from the life of Asa. All right, so then there's one more thing that I want you to see in this passage, and then we'll close, not to belabor it. But often we hear as Christians, "Okay, well, doesn't your God say that he won't punish the children for the father's sins?" Yeah, he does say that. Well, but you take a look at this passage here, and here's Jehoshaphat's sins being visited upon those that come after him. How does that fit? Well, those are temporal judgments. But can I say this also? Is there not also a blessing that comes upon the southern kingdom for the uprightness of David? There most certainly is. Because the Lord often sends temporal blessings to encourage us to obedience. And he sends temporal afflictions to discourage us from disobedience. And when those offspring and following kings, not necessarily offspring, because what's going on in the northern kingdom? How do you get to be king in the northern kingdom? Right? How do you get to be king in the southern kingdom? By being part of the Davidic dynasty. Now, there will be a, a dynasty in the next chapter that rises up in the northern kingdom. And it is a wicked, wicked dynasty. It's called the House of Omri. And it's a wicked dynasty, no doubt. All right, well, let's content ourselves then on 1 Kings chapter 15 with that which we have covered, and let's stand together.